Hey, spooky parents. We want to help promote an awesome alternative clothing brand from the Midwest made just for you ghouls. It's Feral Mama. The brand was started by Gretchen, a mother of four living in Cleveland, Ohio, who is a trained doula and has a passion for supporting motherhood and other mothers who are struggling with mental illness, postpartum depression, and mothers who are struggling to find a support group for other alternative mothers. Since she started her business, she has found an awesome community that has supported her through thick and thin. We support her on this mission as parents ourselves. Feral Mama has lots of comfy t-shirts with spooky designs for, you know, mostly mamas, but also some unisex options are available for any of you papas or caregivers out there. She also sells kid shirts from time to time, as well as hoodies, crew neck, long sleeve shirts, patches, pins, mugs, and some other really cute bags. You can use my code OSCUREIVY to get 10% off your first order using the link in the description on our Instagram or even on our YouTube, feralmamashop.com/OSCUREIVY. That's feralmamashop.com/OSCUREIVY. By supporting her, you will also be helping us continue to do what we do. It can take anywhere between 14 to 21 business days to receive your order, but remember, she is only one person. So go support your local Feral Mama today. Remember to support small businesses, women, and of course, badass mamas everywhere.
The Midwest, home sweet home in good old Indiana. Place of small towns, cozy families gathered together, and fields of corn and rustic woods. But, like any town, there is a dark underbelly that often goes unnoted. We are part of that darkness. We lurk in the shadows to bring you the best in horror, metal, and stories of the grotesque. This is Blood in the Cornfields.
All right, welcome in, Cellar Dwellers.
Hey, how's everybody doing? Episode. Another one.
Another one. We're still here.
We are. We're still here. We're kicking. It's been a rough couple weeks for me personally, just because of sick and allergies and weather being icky.
There's all sorts of stuff going around. There's all sorts of stuff falling from the sky. Pollen stuff, stuff from trees. And
the sky with the eclipse and everything, you know.
Yeah, you know, the world ending. It didn't, but
everybody thought.
Surprise. Literally nothing happened.
Nope.
Which, kind of assumed that.
But, you know, you always have those nuts.
Yes. Yeah. There's all types. So we are back with another episode. We're going to kind of start it off with telling you what's new in the world of horror. I'll kind of start us off because I got a couple things. So a film that I've seen has been going around the internet. I noticed a lot of internet horror type people. I don't know. I hate the term influencer. So, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
But yeah, like horror types are talking about the movie. It's a Spanish movie, The Coffee Table.
Oh, you know what? I saw that and I thought it was a joke. I thought it was a meme.
No, it is a real movie.
Oh,
I saw the preview for it.
Okay.
It was Spanish released, but it's coming to the United States and is already out. It came out April 16th for U.S. release.
Very cool.
A lot of people are talking about it. Okay. It's supposed to be pretty unique, pretty cool.
And it's horror, you say?
It is. I believe it is.
What's scary about a coffee table?
I don't know.
What happens on said coffee table?
Yeah.
What's in said coffee? Is it haunted?
The only thing I ever think of coffee table is in the movie Weird Science when he's in the coffee table.
Yes.
That's scary. Yeah. That used to creep me out as a kid.
That's scary. I get that. If that's where they're going with this.
Yeah. Because they all had the braces and shit. It creeped me out. I just was like, and I think he goes like, he yells or something. I don't know. That's crazy. So look for that. It's supposed to be pretty good. If y'all watch it, please leave in the comments what it's, you know, is it good? Should we watch it?
Hopefully it'll be coming out on Shudder or something like that.
So yeah. And so since we're still new in this, I kind of have to pump the brakes on myself because I'm going to pause on This Week in Horror and I'm going to go like rewind Karma. Karma Records.
Yes.
So let's talk about that first.
So Karma Records is located in Warsaw. It's been there for a long ass time. We love that place, or at least So I grew up with that place. I didn't start going to it until I was like maybe just fresh out of high school when I finally could.
Yeah.
Just because I had my driver's license. I had, you know, access to a car and I could actually go out and do stuff after college, you know, and that sort of thing. And I would always make a break for Karma Records because they would always have like latest, you know, records I was looking for, or they could even like order a record for me. But the thing that made them the best, and I have to chalk this up to the owner, John, because he was around when I was there when I was a kid.
So it was the same owner?
Yep.
Awesome.
Was his selection of horror memorabilia and just everything kind of horror related. Like, I remember at the old location where they were located at, which was next to like this our military recruiting place.
Oh, okay.
And just across the not just across the street, but just down the road from a Walmart. And I remember always going in that little small parking lot and then spending way too much by the time I got out. And it was mostly because they had so much cool stuff. As a matter of fact, a lot of the stuff that I still have as far as my collectibles are from Karma.
Sweet.
I bought my first Linnea Quigley movie there, Sorority Babes, the Slime Ball Ballorama,
on DVD.
Right. and then I also bought my Alice Cooper poster that's hanging up in our studio. And then, man, I just have so many memories just being there. I bought a Blacklight poster from there because they still had those.
I remember those back in the day.
Yeah.
From the stars and stuff.
Yeah. And they also had like a skateboard shop in the back, which is what they were most known for at the time, too, because I remember when I still was into skateboarding, I got some trucks from there wheels.
So independence.
Yeah. So that was nice. And I did like that they had that attached to, you know, to their store. But God, just their horror section was immaculate.
Interesting. I'd never heard of them up until recently.
Yeah.
I never went over to Warsaw. I just, you know, like you grew up like right by it. So
yeah.
I was always in like the Mishawaka area or whatever. And I went and you went. So I guess we should tell the viewers.
Yeah.
They moved.
Yeah, they did move.
Is this location bigger than the old one?
Yes.
Okay, I was going to say it seemed like it was, but I'd never been in that old one.
So much bigger. So much bigger than the old one. I love where it's located, too, because it's located right next to Chimps Comics in Warsaw.
I saw that.
Chimps Comics. Like, that is, like, genius marketing. You've got the same clientele going in and out. They're probably swapping clientele all the time.
Yeah.
Not to mention, you also have maybe people that didn't know where Chimps Comic was or what they were about, or even if they existed.
Yeah.
Shit, you got the people that knew Karma, that grew up with Karma, that just need records, you know, their music. Oh my God, there's a comic book store right there?
Yeah.
Well, shit, how did I not know about this? You know, that's genius.
Yeah. Yeah, so it was good, and I stopped in there, and, you know, shamelessly, now I'm in love with the place, so I'm like, hopefully if we rep them and give them some business, they'll do, like, some sort of, you know, whether it's a 10% off or whether it's, like, a raffle or something. I don't know. It's such a cool place that I love it, and so I talked to some of the employees there, but you went before.
Yes. So I went a couple days beforehand with Casper. So I had my little baby in tow and he was just having a blast just walking among the place. And everybody was being so nice to him, you know, with him, you know, being curious and looking at stuff. But he didn't. Everything's behind glass if there's anything valuable. So it was all good, or high up where he couldn't reach. But they were real nice and very accommodating and helping me out, because like I started gathering like a pile of shit and they're like, here, let me take those for you. And I'm thank you. Yeah. You know, and I started going nuts in all the pins. It's like being a candy store. It's amazing. Their movie selection, even bigger than what it was before, which is amazing. They have like cavity colors and let's see here, Creepy Co. And a couple other businesses that are like serve like the horror clientele that that they have represented at their store. And I'm just like, oh, that's fucking cool.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, they have masks. They have like to a deck of cards, two small action figures. They had a King Diamond action figure that I was partial
badass.
To. They have a whole bunch of stuff. You know, they have this leather face pillow that I'm going to be getting.
Yeah.
But, t-shirts and all sorts of stuff like pop figures.
Oh my God.
All sorts of other figures.
A whole wall of pop figures and collectibles.
Yeah. So I'm used to the record store type thing because I've been going to record stores since I was a kid, but never have I seen a record store that like had, I mean, I don't know, to put a number on it, like a third of its inventory was kind of horror related.
Right.
Which I was kind of shocked that it was that much, you know?
Yeah.
Oh. They even had like purses for, you know, the women up atop, like by the door.
Oh, those
were
badass. Yeah. I wish I would have gotten a picture.
No.
There's a shelf of horror related puzzles. They had a maniac puzzle that was there, and I was just like, what the fuck?
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you know,
it's a feast for the eyes. You gotta
there's a lot of stuff. I'm gonna be going back there next week. But yeah, big shout out to Karma Records.
And John was so nice.
Yeah, I didn't meet John, but I met, forgive me guys, dude that I talked to. I know you said you're probably gonna listen to this. I forget your name. I'm terrible at it. Don't take it personally. But yeah, it was good talking with you and, you know, the chick that was working there too.
Yeah.
Great, you know, staff.
She's been there for a while too. I remember when she was there when I was in high school.
Yeah. Sweet.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wanted to make sure we shout them out because that's an awesome place.
Yeah.
If you're anywhere in the area, like you need to check it out.
They're also friends with Tim Wallach. As a matter of fact, you can buy Princess Spooky there as of right now. So yeah, I'm sure you'll be able to get more.
I saw a couple copies of it when I was there.
That's cool.
I was like, yeah, we just had him on.
Yeah. And they also mentioned, like, John was like, I for some reason, when I talked to him, he's like, I thought you guys were like from Chicago area or something else. Mm-hmm. He goes, I didn't realize you were so local that you're here in Goshen.
Yeah.
Like that was just, he goes, everything cool somewhere else or on the coast. And he's like, wow, you guys are here.
Yeah. It was pretty cool.
So he was very excited and we're very excited to, you know, tell y'all about them. Please go check them out. They're a great place. They make you feel so welcome. They got so much cool shit. The fact that they're local, you know, doing stuff here with, just go check them out.
Did you
man.
Put your purchases on the Blood in the Cornfields page?
I didn't yet, but they'll be up on this
video.
Okay,
so mine are there, and Ivy will have hers on there, so you can get an idea of some of the things that they have, because we bought vastly different shit.
Yes.
You bought, like, some smaller knick-knacky type stuffs, and I bought two shirts and then the Wrath of Becky. Which I'm so excited to watch.
That's cool.
Great price, man. They had a bunch of troll movies too. I could go on and talk about them. Like, they're gonna get a shit ton of my money. I'm just letting y'all know now. Yeah, it's probably not even cool, and I should be more responsible, but I don't think I can at this point.
Yeah.
So with that being said, check out Karma Records in Warsaw. It's on like Winona Lane or something that.
Yep, Winona Avenue.
Winona Avenue, yeah.
Yep.
The lake and everything.
The lake is just down the road, yeah.
Yeah, sweet. So back to kind of this week in horror, you know, our little intro stuff. So Abigail comes out April 19th.
God, I'm so excited for that. Ever since we saw the trailer for it on Lisa Frankenstein, I was like, that looks interesting as fuck.
Yeah, it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, and I also picked up the latest Fangoria from Karma Records. Yep. Wonderful quality, may I add.
They really improved. Like it's almost like a paperback book. Like cover quality.
Like it's not
not magazine
flimsy
anymore.
Material or anything like that anymore. It's like it's a full ass book. No wonder why their prices went up. But Abigail was right on the front cover of this. Let's see here. So then volume 2, issue 23. So spring.
Yeah. So one cool thing I read about Abigail, which now makes me more excited to actually see it, is the writer, the head writer and director. I was reading an article said that they were during the whole entire process were listening to the song Abigail by King Diamond.
No way!
Through the whole process.
Oh my God! It's everything I always wanted.
Yeah. So I was just like, that's badass because
Abigail just talked about that.
Yeah, Abigail, the album was considered by Billboards as the very first horror themed metal album.
Oh my God.
I read that too. So I was like, yeah, that's pretty cool.
You know what? I think that's kind of bullshit though, because Alice Cooper. Welcome to my nightmare. That's all horror theme.
I'm just going by what Billboard says.
Well, Billboard, go fuck yourself. You don't know shit.
So check out Abigail, April 19th. Something that dropped the other day that we've talked about is the Long Legs trailer.
Dude, that looks so weird.
It looks so good.
It has Nicolas Cage.
Yes, and I text you and I was like, that. So any of you film students, any of you movie producers are interested in a movie, check out the Long Legs trailer that's out right now.
Genius.
It is how trailers should be done. Mm-hmm. It's like only a minute long. It gives you a little snippet.
Gives you a taste.
But it does not reveal jack shit about it. It makes you want to know more. It draws you in. Perfect, perfect trailer. Absolutely fucking
And speaking
it.
Of, it's on the back of my Fangoria as well. There's a nice, freaky looking poster with some chick with blood on her hands, like a nun weeping over a casket.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, I know nothing about the movie.
Right.
And I want to keep it that way.
Yeah, same.
I just want to go see it.
It's called Long Legs. Who's got long legs?
I know.
Is it another spider movie?
Yeah.
Like, what's going on?
It's arachnophobia all over.
Right.
And then lastly, Late Night with the Devil is now streaming on Shudder.
Yay!
So you can watch it at any time.
You might need to review it, man.
Yes. If you don't have Shudder, turn off YouTube because you are terrible and you should not be listening to us. But no, Shudder is great for those of you who don't have it. It is not expensive. A little tip when you're in Shudder, though. Mm-hmm. Browsing, like on Netflix, ain't gonna cut it. You're gonna have to use a search engine because it's doesn't do very well with just browsing. But like Joe Bob Briggs collection is all on there. Bunch of really good horror movies. Evil Lurks was on there that we watched a couple months back. All really, really, really good shit. And then they have like what I like to tune in on and put background is their live look-ins, like the Slasher Channel. So it'll have like live look-ins. So it'll be like playing a slasher, like Mary Lou Prom Night 2 or something like that. And you just click on it and you'll pick up somewhere in the movie.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, it's like
you're channel surfing.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
And they
cool.
have three categories. And the categories change up. But yeah, sometimes I just like to do the live look-ins and watch some shitty random movie at some random point in the movie. So
that's really cool. I like that. I didn't know that they had that. Yeah. And I have Shudder now. So yeah, that's cool.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. So yeah, I definitely check out Shudder, everyone.
One last place I definitely want to shout out. While we were in the kind of Warsaw area, Casper went back home. But I later came back with my primos or my cousins, and we celebrated their engagement.
Oh, awesome. Congratulations, cousins.
Yes, Marshall and Megan.
Eminem, there we go.
Eminem! I love that. That's your new nickname.
Yep, yep.
So I am very excited for them. We went out to Hop Lore. That's in Leesburg.
Okay.
It used to be an old mill. And they renovated it into a brewery.
That sounds cool.
It is actually pretty badass in there.
Hmm.
Like, I know it's not really horror themed, but they got a lot of nerdy stuff in there.
I like to eat.
But
some of you like to drink.
Yeah.
It fits.
And good beer. Great people that work there. They even said, like, hey, if you guys shout us out on the podcast, we'd love to, like, take your business. Like, you know, your cards, drop them off.
Yeah.
We'll hand them out.
Hell yeah.
They were also playing, like, they must have known like horror nerds seeped in there because they're playing Mars Attacks on the screen when we went in.
My daughter loves Mars Attacks.
Nice.
I think I've said that before. She loves Mars Attacks.
That's cool.
Like I took her to Walmart and was like, hey, pick out two movies. She got one that was not appropriate for someone her age. I don't remember what it was. And then Mars Attacks was the other one. And then we settled on Back to the Future. My kid picked out Back to the Future Mars Attacks. I'm like, that's bad.
Your kid's got good taste.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's a welcoming vibe to that place. Like it's sit anywhere. I guess they do welcome kids. I did not know that. Yeah. They have obviously the bar area that's just for the bar people, you know.
Yeah.
And then they also have the main area, which is
like
all
just
over the place.
Family dining type place.
It's family dining.
Okay.
I did not know that because I was beside myself. I saw this little girl walking out with her like little busy pad. And I'm like, that's a child. Because the last time I was there, I don't think they had it available for kids or, for families. And now they did. And I was like, oh, my God, that's cool.
Sweet.
Bring Casper there. But needless to say, they had live music that was playing as well. It's just so nice there. It's just very good. They have good food and, you know, and it's just a little place to hang out, and they have fucking arcade games.
That's awesome.
They had an old pinball machine.
Okay.
That was Star Wars themed.
Sweet.
The little nerd inside of me was going nuts, and listen, I love that, man.
There's a Star Wars game. It's open world that's coming out in like 2 months.
Oh, yeah, I heard about
Outlanders, I think is what
Outlanders
it's called.
Outlanders or Battlefront or something weird.
Battlefront of the old ones. I think it's called Outlanders or something like that. But anyway, you're a female lead, and it's open world. So I'm like, open world shit. That's my jam.
That's cool.
I picked up Fallout 76 again, started playing that because I've had it, but I've like dropped it in, you know, several points. But, yeah, they've added a lot of stuff since I played it. So, yeah, playing Fallout 76 is pretty sweet.
Very cool. Well, yeah, definitely check out Hoplore Brewing Company in Leesburg if you're around. Nice little watering hole. Just take a break. Have a good time. They also have, like, board games and shit like that there. And a big-ass, like, Connect 4 table.
Well, so, places like that are cool.
Yeah. So, definitely go check it out.
Yes. Check it out. Check it out. We have something to talk about, the meat and potatoes of the episode.
Yes.
So we're going to talk about First Omen.
Yes, we're actually going to go see it.
We are going to go see it, yes. This is the little pre part before we go see it.
Yep.
What are your thoughts? Because I'll be honest, I don't know a ton about it. Mm-hmm. All you have to say is it's an Omen movie, and I'm like, man, all right, cool, I'm down.
All I know about it is what we talked about with Tim Wallach last time, and I kind of left it at that, where a lot of people were comparing it to the Omen meets Suspiria.
Okay.
And I'm like,
I'm intrigued.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, I had great marketing and stuff like that, but I was so worried about it because I was getting, like, Exorcist vibes with that new one that came out that flopped hard.
The one that I mentioned is free on Amazon Prime to tune into.
That one.
I still haven't watched it.
But I'm just so worried about it. Like, I was just like, I don't know if this is actually going to be good. It's one of those prequel movies, you know?
Yeah, I'm always worried when I see that word.
Prequels, sequels, remakes, all that shit. But you know what? The only thing I could say about it is it looks really well done.
Yeah, like, it does.
The trailers did very good, keeping it very, you know, vague as far as what was going to happen. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what's going to happen. You know.
And it seemed pretty time accurate, right?
Like, yeah.
It seemed very much realistically, like, older.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, like, whereas the original one was in the 70s, I think this one takes place in maybe 60s?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, 60s-ish.
I guess we'll find out.
And I do like that about it. I like that it, you know, how did this become a thing? How did people know about this happening? How did this spawn into Damien being born of a jackal? Like, what's going on? How'd this happen? So I am very excited about this. There is in that Fangoria magazine that I picked up, which I'm sure I'll reference later after we see it. There was a little article in it about the First Omen.
Okay.
And how important the original Omen from the 70s was so important for its time because it challenged things like take whatever you want to say about it, you know, the subject matter with abortion, touched on those aspects. It also touched on the whole satanic panic that was starting to brew, just starting to brew, and the evangelical movement.
It's touching some taboos.
Yeah. And so that was kind of, the Omen was kind of birthed from all those things kind of coming together. And I just love that, though, because it tells us like how horror is so relevant because it's always changing with the world, you know, and it's always bringing the real world back into horror. Like you know what time period you're kind of in.
Yeah, there's definitely parallels for sure.
Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts on what do
so
you think?
My thoughts are I'm just curious to see how it plays into the Omen story. I want to see where it fits and really, you know, if it's setting things up, if it truly is a prequel, is it going to set it up accurately? Is it going to transition from the very first to the one that we're watching now? Mm-hmm. The original, I should say, to be less confusing. I'm also curious to see just with like how accurate it looks, because I'm all about like, you know, if it's a serious movie, because obviously the corny shit, it doesn't really matter, you know, right, like timepiece or whatever. But I always like to look at like higher budget films and how accurately they're portrayed. Like Maxine did a good job of legitimately looking like it was in the 80s.
Yeah.
Or 70s or whatever.
Oh, 70s for the first one.
Yeah. Okay. Well, for Maxine.
Oh, for Maxine, 80s. Yeah.
80s. That's what I thought. I thought it was in the 80s. My bad. But yeah, that's kind of like what I mean. Like, does it believably look that time period? And I like stuff that does that, you know. There's other movies that have done that and others that have not, where it doesn't very look time right. period accurate. So I'm really interested in that, and I'm curious to see what sort of lead actors come out of this, because I don't know any of them.
So I will
I
say
I can't think of any of them.
So the lead actress in this is Nell Tiger Free. She's from Game of Thrones.
Okay.
And so I think that's pretty interesting. I don't remember exactly who she plays in Game of Thrones, but I just remember, like, you know, just looking at her face, she's a very compelling actress.
Cool.
She's got a large range of emotions, and you can even see that in the trailer. And I guess the first Omen is actually the feature debut of the director, Stevenson is his name. He actually worked on other things like Channel Zero, a couple episodes of Legion, and A Brand New Cherry Flavor.
I have no idea what A Brand New Cherry Flavor is.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I know it's a TV show.
Okay.
So, yeah, this was his debut film.
Sure.
And the cinematographer that's on it actually worked on Evil Dead 2013 and is actually working on Abigail as well.
Cool. All right.
So that tells you a little bit that there's competency in this film. And I'm very excited about it.
Absolutely. I'm excited about seeing it too. Definitely.
So with that being said.
Yeah. We're going to take a little break, leading into it?
Yeah, we're gonna go see it.
Yeah.
Like right now.
Yes, we're gonna go see it, definitely. So we will be back in just a second.
Yep. Bye.
Bye.
You don't have to be afraid. God has great plans for you. This child is his way.
There's this girl at the orphanage. I think that she really needs someone to look out for her.
Carlito
suffers from a touch of madness.
You must be very careful, Margaret. Bad things will start to happen around her. Evil things.
It's all for you. No, don't.
What does any of this have to do with Carlita?
This church has maintained power for thousands of years. Lady will stop at nothing to keep it that way. How do you control people who no longer believe? You create something to fear. I believe the girl is to be the mother.
Mother of what?
It's the mark of the devil.
Hey! It's not real. It's not real. It's not real. It's not real. It's not real.
What's not real?
Who said that?
This is very real.
All right, we are back. We have seen, we picked up some stragglers.
We sure did. We got our very own little Damien in the studio with us. Yeah, you hear?
On cue, right on cue.
And we got a wonderful friend with us, but no stranger to the podcast.
That's right.
Hello, everyone. This is Andrew Borntrager. How are you all doing?
Yeah.
I knew you can't respond, but
remember, the guy from the Hobart Freeman episode.
Yes.
Yeah, that cult dude.
The culty guy, the culty gentleman.
A cult in that I am an acquired taste.
That's all right. I think we all are, actually. Mm-hmm. So we have seen, we have some thoughts we have not shared really with each other. yeah, I don't know. So do you want to start it off with like the premise, or do we want to jump into it? Because that's what I always struggle with.
Yeah,
I always jump the gun and just like start talking.
Let's go ahead and have just a small little flavor of what the movie's actually about. So this is going to be kind of the synopsis, and then we'll also go into non-spoiler review territory here.
Cool.
Until we just let our thoughts fly.
Yeah.
The synopsis is basically this. A young lady, very devoted to her faith, goes to a convent, a special convent in Rome, where she is learning to be closer into her faith,
mm-hmm.
but she becomes very encapsulated by other shit that's going on around her that she has no explanation for.
Yeah, I would say that's accurate. And, you know, just the things that happen during her stay.
Yep.
You know, I don't know why she was there to begin with.
Well, and I'm looking at it. Okay, so I'm looking at it from a Catholic perspective because, you know, Latina Catholic lady talking to you. But I just saw it as, you know, typically when somebody's going to the convent, they're wanting to become closer to their faith as far as like they want to become a nun. That's like their main goal, is to be devoted to the church, essentially.
Yeah.
So that's what I saw, was just like she's just very devoted in her faith. She wants to keep pursuing this. And there was even like, I don't know, I know I'm kind of jumping the gun a little bit, but there's even like this whole, I don't know, like womanhood and coming of age seeped in there as well, because she didn't really get to have that because she was, this young lady was like born in an orphanage, and that's really all she's
bounced
known
around.
She's basically groomed in the church, so that's all there really is, and all that's all she really knows.
Kind of like
this
the pinnacle
bubble, you know.
Yeah
So like, I don't know where I'm going with that, but that's what I see.
That was
the
a good
beginning
direction where you were going.
But yeah, that's what I see in that first, you know, start of the movie. It's mm-hmm. just this poor woman trying to figure out who she is, and then she's thrown into all this shit that's going on. And it's like, oh, you discovered some stuff about yourself. So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know why I thought of it as kind of like a coming of age thing, but it kind of felt like it.
Yeah.
I felt like that was dropped pretty quickly. Like, it becomes like really, really mm-hmm. essential in the beginning, but I felt like that wasn't followed up on much. So thematically, it felt really good to me.
Sure.
You think so?
Yeah. That specific aspect. Because I really did like that. Mm-hmm. I picked up on that too. I just thought it kind of didn't follow up on that until certain points in the film. So I don't know. Are we going to
We usually just have to spoil the shit out of it. Yeah.
Well,
I think just freely.
Let's just put it this way. For the non-spoiler, what do you guys think of the film, non-spoiler territory? Let's do that.
Okay. We can do that.
That way, you know, if you want to stop here, you can. But if you don't give a shit and you want to know what happens and we want to know our true thoughts, you can stick around.
Yeah, absolutely. So we'll mark a point where we're going to spoiler it. So I guess I'll start off with non-spoiler type related stuff. So some of the things I liked about the film were it had a very artistic taste to me. I love some of the still shots, like in the beginning, the very, very beginning with the feet and the blood and the water.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cool. It had a bunch of cool cut scenes that I was not expecting the scenery to cut from where it was.
Mm-hmm.
So like there would be a loud buildup and then it would cut to something completely non-related. So I thought that was really cool and unique. It felt like an accurate timepiece. I felt like the time that it was shot in was accurate and, you know, not hokey or, you know, kind of phony and stuff like that. And I liked, but then thought it got weird. So I don't know if you guys noticed, but the main character, Margaret, was on her back in a lot of scenes. And you're looking at her from, you know, the vantage point of up above her.
Right.
And in the beginning, there were three different scenes to where they had her hair positioned out, stranding.
Oh, yeah.
And it reminded
true.
Me
like
of Medusa.
Sun.
It reminded me of like Medusa is how I could describe it. But it looked like very deliberate. Like when she came home from the party,
mm-hmm.
when she was passed out, like the strands of hair. And then also before that, there was a couple times before that. So I thought that was interesting. I feel like they did it enough that there has to be some symbolism or there has to be some thing behind it on why they were choosing to have her hair like that, all like stranded out and stuff. So there were some things that actually made me think about the movie. And that could be just because I'm a bumbling idiot and didn't catch on, or actually it is something made to make you think about it. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that was kind of some non-spoiler stuff that I thought was pretty good about it.
So yeah, no, as far as non-spoiler stuff, just all I can say is, this is a lot for a mother to take in, like a new mom. This probably wasn't okay for me to watch as a new mom. He gets it. He's coming over to say it's okay, mommy.
Casper.
Yeah.
It was very like okay. Parts of it was just triggering, I guess. And I'm weird about like Catholic themed movies because you know I grew up in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
So there's always a little bit of me that's going to be a little triggered. Not necessarily, like, not in a bad way. I don't have, like, you know, religious trauma or anything like that, but
you
just
beaten with a ruler
no,
or anything.
Right? So nothing like that, but just, oh, there's just parts of it where I'm a little leery and I'm always watching what's happening and I'm just like, oh God, don't do that. Don't do that. Especially when anything revolving around kids, that's just my weakness.
Gotcha.
Man. So there was a lot of times where I'm just at the edge of my seat with that sort of thing, but as far as the film, I loved it. I think it was beautifully shot, beautifully made. Even better that it was done by a female director.
I was just going to say, Akasha. I liked the director. I liked the artistic parts of it. Like, it wasn't just a film straight up shot. You know, like there's some films you watch that it's, you know, not very artistic, but like still a good film. But I felt like this was kind of artsy as well. And I wasn't really expecting that. Maybe it's just me thinking, you know, about just an Omen movie. But yeah, I thought that was really cool. So it's.
I like that this was directed from a female gaze for sure. Like it literally
it was very female heavy.
That's all that I could see. And I guess maybe that was the right frame of mind for me to be in as like a mom watching this or just a woman in general is just like it felt like I said before, like kind of a coming of age thing because and we'll go into it a little bit more. Like, yeah, she's experiencing all this, like even her sexuality and parts and who she's actually meant to be.
Yeah.
Only to have that part of her being completely stripped away, which we'll talk about later. talk about, you know, no choice and what you want to do with, I don't know, your body. So, I don't know. It was suspenseful for me as a woman watching it. I understand not all women are going to experience the same thing, but damn. This was a very good Omen film.
Very good. Overall, definitely liked it. Yeah. Definitely enjoyed it.
I've only gotten up to the third Omen movie. But what I've seen, this is easily right there with the Omen.
Yeah.
Very good.
I would agree.
Andrew, your thoughts?
Yeah. So speaking to very specifically the hair sequence, right?
Yeah.
So I know I've seen this in another place before. I swear that there has to be a film that is referencing, and I noticed a number of film references, and some of them were really distracting. For example, Rosemary's Baby.
Ah, yes!
Sequence where, you know, there's the poster of Rosemary's Baby where you see the sign.
Mm-hmm.
You see the side of her face, and then the main character's face is, you know, it's like, it's burning. And it's very clear it's a Rosemary's Baby reference. I don't know, maybe it's just the fact that this movie was in not English, but the Silencio sequences.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
When they started pumping out the word Silencio,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, this is Mulholland Drive. Okay. And then also the sequence towards the end where the main character freaks out and contorts and just starts screaming reminded me entirely of the grocery bag scene in Possession.
Possession! Yeah. And, yes, Luke and I said the same thing.
And that was okay, but, you know, I don't know. It was a little distracting. You also have the callbacks to the other films, although those were more minimal than I thought. But ultimately, the whole project felt like a faux A24 sort of thing. However, yeah. it was still good. I still really enjoy it. I just thought that it had some pacing issues.
Yeah.
Towards the beginning, what they set up is really interesting, and the payoff to it, I just wasn't really convinced.
Yeah.
And there are things about potential sequel baiting, or spinoff. Given that, and this is major spoiler territory, there is a sequence towards the end where Damien is finally born, but Damien has a twin sister. And the twin sister, the main character escapes with her, along with the main character's little friend that she has throughout the film.
Yeah.
And they have this happy little family in the middle of nowhere. And one of the priests shows up and says, oh, yeah, by the way, they're going to come get you. Mm-hmm. And his name is Damien, by the way, they named him. And that felt a little like just...
Yeah, no, I get that. Like, feels like they're doing a cinematic universe.
I kept thinking, how much of this movie could we edit?
It seemed very...
not to even be an Omen film.
It seemed very Marvel. They're just adding on to the end of it, just to... Yeah, yeah.
I felt like this was a good movie, but a bad Omen film.
Okay.
I thought it was not great as an Omen film. And I'm not saying that that's terrible. Personally, I didn't really expect it to be very... feel very cohesive with the rest of the franchise. Mm-hmm. For example, the artsy shots. Mm-hmm. Really awesome cinematography, honestly.
Beautiful cinematography.
Yeah.
There were some sequences that were just way too dark for...
Yeah.
In some of them. Really, the artsy sequences impressed me quite a bit, especially that beginning. That beginning really hooked me. I started off very distracted.
Like with the stained glass, is that what you're referring to? Yeah.
Dude, I was just, it was a callback though, and I'm just like, I'm just waiting for it. When is it gonna fucking, like, do the same lightning rod thing through the guy?
I'm thinking, well, is homeboy surviving? Cause I'm like, you know, you can miss a chunk out of the back of your head. Right?
That's what I thought too.
Maybe he just won't remember who he is anymore, or can't smell, or maybe can't see out of one eye. And I'm like, are they gonna bring him back?
It was also remarkably bloodless.
If
they didn't really shy away from blood in other parts of the film.
No.
Yeah.
In one part, it's just like, by the way, you get fifth of your brain is gone.
Yeah. Oh my god,
it's a nice little clean chunk,
dude.
With the thought to it, though, and this is my high school health. Mm-hmm. You know, education here, but doesn't your head not have as many blood vessels and doesn't bleed as much?
No, the head bleeds the most.
The head bleeds the most? Okay, so I'm completely... Yeah.
It's okay.
That's my Elkhart County education kicking in right there at its finest.
I only know that the face bleeds the most because, whenever we get car crash victims back, that's where... it looks the worst at, but once you clean them off, it's like they got maybe a little scratch or something right there. And it's like, oh, perfect. You look fine.
I've been dead wrong before. So to kind of touch, because we kind of just ripped the shit off the Band-Aid and we're going in spoilers.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Yeah,
let's go into spoilers because we got thoughts.
Which, honestly, that's how we do basically every episode. So I'm at least proud of us that we said part of it without spoilers. Kind of touch base with what you were saying at the end, I don't know. It's just my weird side of me, the humor. But, you know, for me, I thought it seemed really hokey because, like I'd mentioned to you guys, it seemed like, oh, we're just a bunch of, you know, Antichrist gals chilling in the mountains in the woods, you know, gonna just make some porridge and chill as a trio, you know, just hang out, raise our little demon baby, you know. And I'm thinking, are they going to go make a Omen 6 and have twin battle twin, and she's going to take out her brother and she's going to end Damien? What are they doing with that?
I wouldn't be opposed to seeing something that dumb. Just make it entertaining.
Yeah, they're
going to
have a sword fight, you know, and it's going to be that. Yeah, she's going to just
make that shit entertaining as fuck. Don't hold back if you were to ever do something that ridiculous.
Because I was what's the point of putting that on the back end? You know, the Antichrist gals chilling.
Uh-huh.
And there's none of that in the Omen movies that I ever remember. That there's the twin coming back, and then there's the birth mother, and she's got an Antichrist friend that she picked up along the way. Like, You know, yeah, they're going to team up and do battle with Damien. We'll get him. You know, I was totally confused on that. And I felt it was very Marvel-ish. They just put that in there and said, fuck the story that's already been established. We're just going to make our own. So I loved that there's parts of this movie that made me laugh that you're not supposed to laugh.
Yeah. I'm so pleasantly surprised they did that. And I'm like, okay, good. That made me happy.
I wanted so badly when she retreats to the room, barricades it, grabs the 2x4. I wanted her so badly to clock some nuns.
just see her going off.
Shit out of a couple of nuns.
That would have been funny.
And she didn't even get a swing off. I'm just like, what? Why'd you even hold the 2x4 then?
The one part that just cracked me all the fuck to shit, like I was laughing, was the scene where the dude that she got to have a one night with, you know, you know, of course we're waiting for this to happen. They set this shit up so bad and so hard. So to back it up a little bit, she gets to have one fun night out with the sexy nun that I assume maybe they were, you know, posing her sexuality. She's coming of age, you know, she's experimenting with that queerness. And I'm like, oh, that's cool. There's a lot of that. No, that's out the window. Sexy nuns against her. I know. Yes, Casper's
disappointed too.
I'm disappointed. There wasn't enough titties.
There were titties.
Well,
side titties, and that's it.
Were there? So there were actually cartoon titties on the floor with the spiral. There were some titties on there. So,
Drawing
titties. Yeah,
this curly haired dude is like they're getting along really well and all this stuff, and like they run their fingers through their hair, and then all of a sudden it's gone. She like is blacked out, and apparently he's in on this shit and doing a whole Rosemary's Baby thing, and it's like, oh my God. And
it seems to be felt more like Rosemary's Baby.
I know. I kept thinking, because it even had the part where she's impregnated, after she's knocked out, they did the whole scary fingers and shit. And I'm just like, oh yeah.
Are you talking about the demon hand coming out of the vagina?
No, not that.
Okay.
Not that. All right. That's a good part.
Alien references.
Yeah. Oh, hardcore. But definitely just after that scene, they cut back to him. She sees him run down the street. She's like, you come back here. And then he starts backing up to the street. And you're just like, wait for the car to hit him. When's it going to hit him?
Yeah.
Boom. Hits him. Dude is pinned up against the fucking wall.
And that was somewhat predictable, but what you're going to say next wasn't.
Oh my God. And then he's like, I'm stuck. And I he's freaking out. And then
she's like, I got you.
I got you, dude.
Just rips him in half.
Yep. Don't know how that managed to happen. Bear hugs
the shit out of him and takes some steps with just the torso.
Yep.
Yeah, that was some pretty interesting
sequence in the film.
I know.
That was so just
that was funny, dude.
In addition to being a lame callback, I thought some of the callbacks were fine.
Yeah.
It's the glass scene.
Yeah. Right? Oh yeah.
But oh my God, the way that was executed was so corny.
Yeah.
And the camera didn't actually show you the bottom half for a long time.
Not for a long time.
Like way past what the audience understands what's going on.
Yeah.
And it was just. It was so silly.
It was so silly.
Yeah.
But that's what the horror fans needed.
Well, yeah, but the film tends to take itself pretty seriously.
Yeah,
true.
Until, you get to those weird, more surreal sequences.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know, that felt much cornier than the rest of the film.
Yeah.
Totally. And I think that was more the fault of bad special effects.
Yeah.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
And bad editing in that very specific sense.
This was a very approachable Omen film for people that don't know the Omen well enough, and it's just a silly little horror movie but just happens to have the Omen name slapped on it. I feel that.
See, I mean, that's kind of why I say it's a bad Omen. It's just does not feel like an Omen film to me at all. And I'm still okay with that.
It feels like a better version of whatever the hell we've been getting recently with other Catholic-themed films.
I was going to bring that up.
Yeah.
So, all right. I'm not going to lie. So when I Googled both Abigail, another film that is currently...
The Vampire Girl.
Dying to see.
Same.
Yeah, we talked about it last episode.
And The First Omen, they have nearly identical IMDb scores and nearly identical Rotten Tomatoes scores. Uh-huh. And I'm like, you know, I think I might have rather seen Abigail.
The cinematographer is the same one.
Is it?
For both movies, yeah.
Interesting.
But also, I think of, like, The Nun when I'm looking at this film, and the excessive use of darkness and the use of nuns.
Yes.
And a lot of this movie does feel like it got funding because nuns are popular.
Yeah. Well, okay, that and also there's a new resurgence in fashion that has been coming up, and it's, like, the Rococo period, but also it's, like, called Catholic core.
What?
It's a thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So Catholic core is like a way of dressing where it's kind of the goth style where you got the crucifixes and the use of like jewel, you know, kind of like Madonna looking shit. But like people are like really going hardcore with this, and they've been going to like actual like what do you call it? Like thrift stores and been finding rosaries on purpose and repurposing them and turning them into the, like their jewelry and dressing kind of like nunnish.
Interesting.
I blame the Met Gala from not too long ago, to be very honest with you, but it's risen in popularity recently.
So the friend, I don't ever remember her name, the sexy girl, that white dress, like that was a really, you know, like beautiful dress, like the way that it was just, it was long and tucked up like, you know, under the chin and stuff. I thought that was a really beautiful dress, and I thought the cool part of the contrast from the white and the black, you know, like, and I think that's what they're going for, is the symbolism of her being pure, being brought into like the nunhood or whatever, and then they're kind of the strictness of them tightening everything on to me seemed very symbolic of her leaving, you know, to go into that like very strict lifestyle, very strict set of rules. Some would say even very strict in like physically, you know, just with all the, you know, ruler shit and all the craziness that it can be. But I thought that was interesting that they were doing it, you know, very
deliberately.
Like, very stern with all that. So,
especially the kinky scenes.
there was quite a few of that.
You know, with us Catholics, we just love our kinks.
It was pretty vanilla.
Exactly.
It's all suppressed.
I mean, do you see what we go through during Lent?
So, for me, there's two parts that had massive confusion. First part was the one that you'd referenced with the possession scene from the movie Possession. So I had not seen that movie to what I recall. Maybe in the past I've seen it. So for me, when the scene happens, to me, it looked like a Michael Jackson's Thriller followed by a demon possession orgasm simultaneously happening.
That is
so if
what
you think
like.
Thriller and think of like a demon
behind her and railing her.
Yeah. Like
that's
an orgasm kind of
like.
Scene. Yeah.
I almost kind of want to take a break and just like show you the 30-second scene.
Yeah.
Yeah. Go ahead. Take a break. Show them.
Sure.
It's also an incredible film. So please go out and watch
it. Yes.
Yeah. Go watch Possession.
Okay. So now that I've seen that, so I definitely, so what I think they did is they played the scene that I just watched, the possession scene, to the actress, and they said, I want you to do this, but slowed down and think Michael Jackson Thriller. It was a slowed down version of what I just watched. That was a little bit more, she was moving faster, she had more movements, more full body, but this girl started out with smaller, twitchy movements, very Thriller-ish, in my opinion. Like, it literally reminded me of Thriller.
You're waiting for
and then she yes, exactly. That's what it started off like. And then she went more full body, but like, to me, it very much had sexual hints in there. And I'll go to something else that I picked up that to me had like a sexual kind of connotation. Mm-hmm. So when she goes through her spasms, we'll call it, and then she's down on the ground, she has the like long like stockings or whatever. Yeah. And then she has like a dress that cuts down kind of the crotch and there's like thigh exposed.
Yeah.
And it's weird because to me that kind of went along with the whole sexual notation of it, but then she spews out the liquid.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, she's going to have a, like a street trash baby going on right here. Because she spews out this blood and liquid, and I think she's going to go into labor.
You just thought it was going to be plop.
Yeah, I thought it was. I thought it was going to pop. Because
that was the best birthing scene ever.
Well, because her belly starts to grow instantly. Yeah. And so I'm thinking, oh, it's like a rapid growth demon, and it's going to be spewed out in the street. No, she goes in a cutscene, and then now she's on her back again from looking at her from above.
Yeah.
And then she's like all calm. And I'm like thinking to myself, well, like,
what lady's calm during a C-section?
The baby was just growing like from, 3 months pregnancy to like almost full term belly, you know, within a matter of her spasms
during
the dance.
Not to mention she has fucking two kids in there, not just one.
So I was just thrown off by that. And to me, that's why I thought that whole twitchy possession scene had like huge sexual undertones to it. Mm-hmm. Because she didn't even have the baby. I don't know why it would have had sexual undertones to it. Maybe that's just how my weird ass brain perceived it. But that's what I was confused on, is why is she spewing out liquid? Unless they just wanted to add like gore and, some like shock factor to it. If she's going to then have the baby a X amount of time period later.
Let me give you just a little bit of context for that from a woman who has given birth. That liquid is probably just natural fluid. So like her water breaking is what I took it for. But obviously they even say in the beginning, and Luke pointed this out to me, that the birth is quick. It happens very rapidly. Mm-hmm. They say at the beginning with, the two fathers talking a little
while. Yeah.
So it's happening rather quickly. And maybe, it's just all of a sudden these kids are fucking growing in every part of everything. And like the fact that there's two of them just baffles me.
Yeah.
Her belly didn't look that fucking big.
No.
For there to be two. And especially at the... Okay. The thing is, though, she goes into that natural position because when she goes down on her knees, when I was in birthing classes, they taught us that if for whatever reason you got to a point where you don't think you could make it, they tell you to bend your legs.
Yeah.
Because that's the natural because that's the natural position, because you're supposed to be able to catch the baby that way.
Yeah.
That's true.
Okay.
I'm telling you this. This is what they taught us in class. So I'm like, okay, that's neat that they would pay attention to that from that perspective. But then, of course, it goes into that birthing scene where she's just calm as fuck. And I'm like, no. No woman's going to be that fucking calm about this. They've already cut into her.
Yeah, they C-sectioned the shit out of her.
Did they nitrous her? Yeah. I didn't see them give her that.
And then she did the
earlier in the film where...
They inject. Yeah.
Well, that can't be healthy for the baby.
Well, there was a sequence earlier in the film.
They're tough babies. They're Antichrist babies.
One of the Antichrist babies being born, one of the failed ones. And you see, the contorted face of that woman as she smiles.
That's right. With the vagina hand.
Yep. The little ghouly hand coming out of the vagina.
Whatever it was. Even though it was an injection, it was essentially nitrous.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
And I was very confused. I was like, she's very calm. We're about ready to have a C-section.
Yeah. So that
she was drugged, essentially.
Yeah. So that was my first little I didn't really like the way they did that. But like the main story on why they're doing everything to me was just dumb and weak as shit. Because it's like, wait, so you're creating an Antichrist baby to show the public and therefore scare the piss out of them and have them return to religion?
I thought that was so funny.
What? I love that.
Yes.
Absolutely, because it speaks to the corruption of religious institutions. However, the way it was done was so corny.
Yep.
You need a little more realism, but it was just a really... For a film that takes itself this seriously, you can't have that kind of a metaphor that's so in your face without it coming across as canon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And my other thing is, where do you get a Jekyll these days? Do you just go to the store and purchase one? Are they just hanging out on the street
and you pick them up?
Can we just talk about
the original origins
of Damien's mother?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm glad you brought it up because I was ready to mention something.
Am I thinking wrong, right?
Yeah. And you were absolutely correct.
According to IMDb, Damien's real father is the devil and mother is...
A jackal. Yeah.
When Robert Thorne discovers the grave, of that is supposedly the Jackal.
Yeah.
On the Jackal's grave is Maria Sciana. S-C-I-A-N-N-A. And I looked at the name of...
Wasn't that the name of the main character?
It's not the name of the main character. No. Her name is Margaret.
Well, no, but like on the back of all the... Because she was Sciana 14, 12.
Yeah, the 12-year-old was that.
So she's Sciana. Well, no, she is also Sciana because she was, when they were putting the pictures together, she was Sciana 5.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Right. So, yeah. But I have a theory with the little mutant babies. I feel like this is going to be an X-Men spinoff that, like, Magneto's going to appear with all the mutant babies and everything that they had from, they've got them, like, they went to
stashed.
The, but they went to the X-Men school.
Are they going to reboot Rosemary's Baby again? And it's going to be a whole shared universe.
Oh my God. God, wouldn't that be so cute? It's Rosemary's Baby, but like every baby she births is like a demon child, and they all go to a little demon together.
Little demon army.
That would be so cute. Like, well, okay, that was the other thing in this movie. God damn, I kid you not. The whole the whole thing with like the baby, and they took Damien. Fine, you take Damien. I know he's gonna be okay, but what about the girl? Is she gonna be all right? Because like there was a whole scene where like I thought maybe she goes, well, go let me go hold my son. I'm like, please don't kill Damien. Oh. Don't psych me out. Like this isn't actually Damien kind of thing. This is another kid. I thought they were gonna do that, and I was like, God damn, please don't. Because I have that thing with don't hurt a kid in a film. You know, people have don't hurt animals. Don't hurt a kid in the film. I'm gonna. Especially babies. I thought she was going to straight up murder
him. I thought she was going to snap his little neck.
I was just... I could not. I literally was... Yeah, you get it, Casper. I was cowering through that whole fucking sequence. I was so triggered.
But you also know she's going to fail.
Like, I do, but I just wanted to make sure those kids were okay. I don't care about the adults. Kill as many adults as you want, but the kids...
Damien's the only devil baby. Damien's going to be fine.
Yeah. Well, and then it's, you know.
I was worried about the other baby, the twin girl, the Princess Leia to, like, Luke Skywalker.
Does she even have a name? Does anyone know? I was going to say, I didn't think
she has a name.
Ooh, so now they can go with, like, a superhero name. I'm telling you. They're going to do, like, a Princess Leia Luke, like, battle to defeat Damien.
That would be something.
She's going to train in the mountains with her other Antichrist chicks, and they're going to teach her the ways of Kung Fu, and then she's going to come back and battle Damien. I'm telling you.
She's going to kick ass.
It's
going to
be like, yeah, it's going to be like Omen 5 or 6 or whatever number it needs to be. But
5,000.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Casper gets it.
Yeah, I don't know. To me, you know, that's my thing with prequels that I don't like, or, you know, a lot of sequels is when you just kind of abandon the storyline or you make major mods to it. And it's like, that doesn't exactly gel.
Yeah.
You know, you're having to throw out quite a bit of already existing movies that have been made for years.
And lore.
Yeah. Prequels. The nature of this prequel reminded me of another film, one that I absolutely despise and will consistently talk crap about for the rest of my life, and that is Rogue One. Rogue One exists to close one single stupid little, not even plot hole, but to explain just how these plans got from point A to point B, and then all the characters die and don't mean anything.
Yeah.
It is the most trite, disgusting Star Wars thing I've ever seen. And while I do like this movie, it still did feel like the whole thing served to just explain how Damien was born.
Yeah.
And there wasn't anything else that tied into the franchise.
Yeah.
Not really.
Yeah, I agree. I felt like... And you know, I feel like that was its main purpose. Obviously, if it's a prequel, you have to do the backstory and stuff. But again, like, I just thought it was weak as shit that they're like, you know, we've got to create the Antichrist baby to bring people into religion. I'm just like, and then also too, why do they have to do the whole cloak and dagger shit with Margarita or whatever her name is?
Oh yeah.
Why don't we just castle freak that bitch and throw her in a dungeon?
Oh my God.
Yeah. And then just, you know, we're going to impregnate her. If we got to use turkey baster or whatever from the jackal, I don't know. Or they can just straight up let her be raped like you saw in the movie, kind of, through a little black veil. But I just was like, why all the cloak and dagger stuff? I mean, you could just, like I said, castle freaker. Throw her in a dungeon, chain her up, and there you go.
I mean, that's honestly very, very true. I don't contend rape of any kind, but you know. I get
unless
where
it's
you're
jackal rape.
I don't even know if that's okay.
I mean,
if a jackal's gonna have sex with a woman, he's not gonna ask for permission.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. That's true.
And therefore, the people restraining this woman in order for the jackal to rape her are the ones.
It's implied consent. He's a jackal.
Jesus.
But it's not the jackal's fault at the end of the day.
Yes, I know.
It's just an animal.
He's just got a hankering, you know?
Yep. But someone has to set this up, right?
Yeah.
Like, the woman has to be restrained. We probably shouldn't go further than that. yeah, it's going to be a dark rabbit hole.
That's all right. Those are the only rabbit holes that are worth it.
Overall thoughts, it's a good movie.
Yes.
But it's not a Good Omen film.
Yes.
It's just, it doesn't belong in that universe.
Yeah, I would say it's a fair assessment. Definitely. Like I said, you know, cool artistic parts, some parts that, you know, make me laugh that are not supposed to be intentionally funny. So that's always a good sign.
Cinematography.
Weird cinematography. Awesome. Old girl was creepy. The one that, you know, of course they have to do the whole Omen thing. It's all for you.
Yeah.
And then it's like, haha, bitch. Little did you know, you're looking at the wrong one.
Yeah.
Haha, you're supposed to be looking at Margarita or whatever. Yes. Yeah. You're looking at the wrong chick. That's what I was thinking of.
Oh,
like,
I just assumed that she,
dumb.
I thought she knew, like she knew all along that it was Margarita.
Well, I don't know. Cause she was stroking homegirl's back.
Well, because I thought she was doing that because she knew Margarita was our, Margareta, make me say a pizza name, man.
Yeah, exactly.
Is Italian. But like, I just figured that, like, once I figured out, you know, she's the one, she was doing all that stuff to the little girl because she knew it would get under Margaret's skin.
Mm.
And it was like, even the kiss between them, it kind of gave me like Judas Jesus vibes. And I was like, I think she knew, and she knew that it was Sienna or Margarita.
Yeah.
That was actually the one that was supposed to.
And that leads me to lots of awkward tongue.
There's a lot of tongue in this movie. Yes.
There is a lot of slimy licking, and I don't,
that's fetishy. That's very Catholic.
Yeah, I was like, but I loved it when the very beginning little girl has a firm grasp on her head and just straight cheek licks her. Just
cow licks her.
Gets, like, tongue deep on her cheek, and I was just like, what the fuck? Like,
is
okay.
Is that how you detect how, like, satanic or dedicated to Satan someone is? You kind of
don't
them, like...
I don't
maybe
know.
Maybe it's not a kiss, so maybe it's got to be a lick.
Yeah. Oh, maybe it's a perversion of the Judas kiss.
Yeah. That's, yeah.
It's the Judas lick.
Yeah.
The Judas lick.
Okay, cool. All right.
That's a new thing. I'm going to Judas lick you.
Yeah. But, you know, sorry. My ADD is taking us
off
track.
No, that's fine.
But,
that's awesome.
I agree with you. I think that's a very fair assessment that this is a good movie, but a bad Omen film.
Yeah.
It just doesn't carry the storyline. It makes it confusing. It has a Marvel open ending for a spinoff that can be a Star Wars type brother battle sister, even though in Star Wars, sister doesn't battle brother. But you know what the fuck I'm saying. You know, it leaves that weird thing, growth. It's like a cancerous growth on this movie.
Yeah.
That's just odd. I feel like I would be staring at it all the time.
I'm just glad, though, because I hope in the right hands, it gets weird. It goes in a weird direction.
Let's not talk like this happening.
No, but that would be so fun. Because
I don't know. This movie's
it's like doing it's well. Doing
well, so.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, ooh, but put it into the good hands and make it weird. Batshit funny.
I kind of hope we get like a streaming series spinoff.
Oh,
So that I can just ignore it.
Okay. That makes sense because anytime I hear anything's a series, I gotta admit I can't do it.
Well, hopefully they'll clock some nuns with 2x4s in this little TV series spinoff of yours because I'd like to see that. Let's see some nuns get the shit clocked out of them with 2x4s.
Yeah. Also, way more nun nudity because we need more nunsploitation.
Hey, we got Immaculate and we got Long Legs coming out.
True, true. Like, you know, there's a lot of serious nun stuff, and I want the real nunsploitation.
There you
go. I want nuns with guns and boobs. You know, like that's what I
sounds like a trauma
life.
Flick.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sure it has been.
Right? Well, and I think, you know, honestly, this is a good directorial debut by that female director. Like, props
not
to
bad.
You, lady, for doing that. That takes a lot, and you did a great job putting this together, even though you didn't write the script, but you directed it. Awesome.
Yeah, good.
All right.
Absolutely.
Well, we recommend you guys see it anyway.
Yes. It is worth a watch.
It was a theatrical experience.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. So I think we'll just leave it at that.
Will I see it again? Yes. I know that the kids survive. I'm good. I'm good. With that being said,
yep. Look out
for each other and good night, cellar dwellers. Bye.
Bye.